Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we will look forward to our next Blue Jays affair against the New York Yankees. A win tomorrow night for the Jays means yet another series win, and so far, so good. 12 games in a row against nothing but the Yankees and the Red Sox, and so far the Blue Jays are 5-2 in the overall. They have won 8 of their last 11. They win it 4-2 tonight behind a phenomenal performance from Marco Estrada. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. And long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will take your calls probably after the top of the hour. But right now, we welcome a special guest. It was a very strange sight to see during batting practice, as a bunch of guys with Canada on their shirts came walking down onto the field just as the Blue Jays were wrapping up BP. And I asked around and I found out it was the 1984 Canadian Olympic baseball team. Baseball, a demonstration sport back then before it got in for good. And Tom Nelson was their second baseman. He's here with us. Good friend of Joe Siddles. I should just let the two of you take it away, but before I do, thanks for coming down, Tom.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And this whole thing was arranged by the Yankees bench coach, Rob Thompson.
Yeah, Rob was our catcher back in 84, and you know, a few guys have been going back and forth with him to get this set up, and last night when the Yankees got into town, Rob joined us for a dinner we were having, and they were talking with him, and he said, you know what, I'm going to see what I can do. I want to get you guys on the field for batting practice.
How many of you were there? It's like 20-something.
There was about 23, 24 players that made it. We had about three players that didn't make it. Unfortunately, we got a couple players that are deceased at this point, but it's just a great turnout.
And it looked like, I was up there in the suite for the seventh inning, it looked like you guys were having an absolute blast.
Oh, yeah, reliving our younger days, telling a lot of stories, you know, how good we think we were back then. But
did you get a chance to get together very often, Tom?
You know what? Most of us haven't seen each other for 32 years.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So since the Olympics finished, you know, a few guys see each other, but most of us haven't seen each other for that long.
Was it just like catching up, like you hadn't missed a beat?
Oh, as soon as we got together, the story started flying, and it was like old times. It was good.
Must be pretty cool for you guys. Now, you said Rob Thompson's set this up. What do you think of his career and where he has gone in baseball?
Just amazing. Just simply amazing. You know, the team we had back then was pretty good. We had Kevin Reimer was on our team, played with the Rangers for quite a few years. Steve Wilson, Mike Gardner, you know, both played in the majors for a number of years. And then to have Robbie and watch him on TV, you know, anytime the Yankees play and you see him in the dugout there. And just a super guy. Just a super guy. And we've had a lot of fun with him.
Rob Thompson from Corunna, Ontario, which is hard by Sarnia. You two are from Windsor. I said it was a demonstration sport in 84. It was the first year that baseball had ever been in the Olympics. What did that mean to you guys that you were the first to wear the Maple Leafs, wear the Maple Leaf at an Olympic Games?
You know, it was pretty special. I don't know if we really realized it back then, what was really happening. It was very interesting. One of our coaches, Dick Roach, who's a longtime scout, told us last night that after this games were over, all our uniforms, bats, and stuff like that ended up in Cooperstown.
Wow.
And he said, you know what? You guys made it to Cooperstown. And that was pretty exciting.
That's pretty special.
Because, you know, back then you're thinking, you know, yeah, we're okay. We're pretty good. But we had a good team, and we came within one pitch of playing in the medal round. You know, we lost a 12-inning game with two outs, and guy hit a two-run homer on us. Lost that game, and, you know, we might have been playing for a medal.
Japan wound up winning the gold, and you beat Japan in the round robin.
Yes, we beat Japan. It's funny. Like, we played excellent baseball. Thing that hurt us a lot, Kevin Reimer was our cleanup hitter, and he broke his hand right before the Olympics. Couldn't play. Took a big bat out of the lineup, but it was a tremendous team, tremendous group of guys, and we're just having a blast these last couple of days.
Do you guys reflect back now at all? I'm sure you must follow a little bit about the Team Canada program. Now they have a junior national team program too. Do you feel like pioneers maybe for some of these kids? Because these kids now are getting wonderful opportunities, what Greg Hamilton is doing with this program.
Yeah, you do a little bit. You kind of look and say, you know, maybe we had a little bit to do with that. I wish we had had that back when I was playing, because, you know, back then baseball was just getting started in Canada, and, you know, there wasn't even a draft for Canadians yet. You know, it's free agent. A lot of players were just starting to go down to college in the States, you know, and we looked and all but I think two of our players were on scholarships in the States at that point. You know, so it's pretty exciting.
That's amazing. We're with Tom Nelson, second baseman for Team Canada at the 1984 Olympics. We got to step away. Stick with us, and we will continue. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-2. It is Blue Jays talk, 1984 Olympics talk, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Rogers Centre. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-2. Mike Wilner, Joe Siddall, Tom Nelson, second baseman for Team Canada in the 1984 Olympics. Thank you so much for joining us. We want to get to John Gibbons before we leave the network, but a real pleasure having you, and congratulations again, and it's great to have you guys back.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you guys for entertaining me up in the suite in the seventh inning. You're all awesome. So all was right. John Gibbons tonight, managing the Blue Jays to a 4-2 win. Let's hear what Gibby had to say.
Exact outing we had to have almost, you know. But to be honest, I mean, we've seen him do that many a time, so I can't say he had one of his best outings, because I've seen, you know, he does that a lot, to be honest with you. But yeah, he stepped up, you know, and just faced these guys the other day. I mean, that makes it even tougher on a pitcher that everybody's familiar with you. So yeah, he's been a great pitcher for us.
John, just with everything going on with the bullpen, would it be fair to say that might have been the most important start of the year to date, just with how well he threw and the timing of this outing?
Oh, well, yeah, I guess you could probably say that. Because, I mean, we were very limited down there in the pen today. We've been playing good baseball, but it really just kind of really continues a nice string of starts we've been getting most of the year. So, when you looked at the circumstances, we had to have that, you know, if we're going to win anyway.
John, what are your thoughts tonight on the impact of the bat of Ryan Goins?
Yeah, go. You know, he hasn't been playing a whole lot lately. You know, but big night. You know, the double to get it going, then the home run to opposite field. Yeah, he seemed good and relaxed tonight and confident. You know, the ball was flying today in BP, so you figure you'd see a lot of home runs, you know. There was only a couple, but, Ryan's been struggling, you know, for a while. He's a better hitter than that. You know, so, but he had a few days off, relaxed, and came through for us.
John, Storn came in a pretty tough situation and managed to close it out for you guys. You have a comment on him?
Got the job done, baby. Name of the game, right? And, I mean, it was third day in a row for him, too, so, I mean, that's never easy for any of these guys, you know. So, yeah, he did a nice job because, you know, they got the big home run from McCann. You know, to cut it close, you know, so everybody's feeling the heat right there. Fans are loving that, you know. And he came in and, you know, then the leadoff hit, got the job done. Yeah, I thought he looked good, really. I thought, you know, it wasn't a long outing, but, you know, I thought the breaking ball looked pretty good. And, yeah. I mean, he needs that for his confidence, you know, because he's got to really help us.
Yeah, they certainly need him to help them, absolutely. There's John Gibbons. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-2. Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and sportsnet.ca/590. When we come back, it's the postgame, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us here at Rogers Centre as the roof is closing above our heads on the network. But we will have Blue Jays talk until 11 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. Big thanks to Tom Nelson, second baseman for Team Canada in the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. Blue Jays and Yankees continue the series tomorrow. A battle of lefties, Jay Happ against CC Sabathia, will be on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership of the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Ryan Clark, Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays Talk continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
And the strike two pitch, swing and a miss. He struck him out. Ball game, Blue Jays. 4-2 over the New York Yankees. That swing and a miss dropped by Martin. We had to wait, and then Martin tagged out the hitter at the plate as the Blue Jays, Marco Estrada, becomes the second Blue Jay to beat the Yankees two times in a five-day span since 1982 when Dave Steve did it.
How about that? 34 years in between a Blue Jays pitcher beating the Yankees twice in 5 days. Marco Estrada gets the job done, and Jay Happ is going to try to do it tomorrow. He beat the Yankees 6 days ago, but by tomorrow it'll be 5 days, and he's on the hill up against CC Sabathia. As the series continues, and the Blue Jays with a win tomorrow can notch their fourth straight series win. They're back up above 500 at 27-26. They beat the Yankees 4-2 in a game that was a little more white-knuckly than it probably should have been. But any bullpen in Major League Baseball should be able to get three outs before allowing four runs when it comes in a clean inning, and the Blue Jays did just that. Drew Storen, after Aaron Loop gave up the two-run shot to Brian McCann, Storen came in and for the third straight outing gave up a double to the first batter he faced, but for the third straight outing didn't give up a hit to anybody else, and Storen closes it out for his third save of the season. The Blue Jays bullpen basically had nobody available tonight, and they got the job done thanks to eight innings of three-hit shutout from Marco Estrada. I'm Mike Wilner. The phone lines are open. It's Blue Jays Talk at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And you guys have been waiting long enough, so let's get to the phones. Menasem in Toronto, is that right?
No, it's Menachem.
Oh, Menachem, how you doing?
Hey, how are
you? All right, you know what I got? I saw pictures from my teammates at Fantasy Camp today earlier on the Twitter, so I'm assuming you're another one of them.
I am.
Attaboy. Nice to finally hear from you.
I know. I've been trying to call, and every time I call, it's busy.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. What's doing?
Thanks. Nothing. I wanted to just talk about Goins' approach today at the plate. I thought that it's different from what he's been hitting recently because of what his average is, but I just liked today how he was going with the pitch and not trying to pull everything and come up off everything. So I really think that's a good direction for him also because to see him and Barney together, I like that compared to Tulo, I really don't see that being, I think I see that being a very good option. I'm not sure what you can do with the Tulo contract because he's making $20 million a year, but those two together seem to have some sort of chemistry.
I think Goins is going to have to hit a lot more than, you know, like he did tonight in order to unseat Tulowitzki. I know that a lot of people are very disappointed with how Tulowitzki has hit since he got here, but he was hitting like 300 over 2 weeks when he got hurt and had to go on the DL.
I agree with you 100%. I just wanted to say to you like about that. And really, I mean, I think Goins needs to be hitting between 275, 265, 275 to make a real difference. But
right,
like,
which is
approach tonight to play.
And his approach was great tonight. And, you know, Joe talked about it a lot, about how he was trying to go the other way, hit that ball where it's pitched. Don't try to pull the ball on the outside corner. And it worked really well. A couple of hits the other way with a double and a homer. But even with those couple of hits, he's only 11 for his last 93.
If he just keeps that approach, though, I think instead of trying to do more than he really is capable of doing, I think it's going to make a big difference.
Here's hoping. Here's
Thank
hoping,
you.
Because, yeah, I think we all agree that if Ryan Goins was a viable major league bat, he could easily be a very productive everyday player in the big leagues. Thank you, sir. Very good to hear from you. Always good to hear from the old Team 12 Fantasy Camp teammates. And might I say, if any of you are considering attending Blue Jays Fantasy Camp, I haven't seen any advertising for it for 2016. I believe it will be happening again. It's just a spectacular experience for everyone. So I could not recommend more highly attending Blue Jays Fantasy Camp. It was a real blast, even with Barry Davis there. Pat in London, you're next. Hey, Pat.
Good evening, Mike.
Good evening.
My question is it's about pitching coaches. Like, when Estrada was in the National League, he gave up the most home runs. So obviously, Pete Walker did something to help him with that. And
no.
Jay Happ's come over, and he's pitched great.
Uh-huh. But why'd you say obviously?
Pardon me?
Why obviously?
Obviously what?
That Pete Walker is the difference maker.
Well, obviously something made a difference. When you give up the most home runs in the league,
he still gave up a ton of home runs.
American League, something's changed.
He still gave up a ton of home runs last year.
Well, he still pitched pretty well.
Oh, yeah, and he still pitched pretty well in Milwaukee, too, even though he gave up a lot of home runs.
Well, he led the league in home runs. That's not a good thing.
I think you're getting a little too caught up on that because Marco Estrada's last year in Milwaukee gave up 29 home runs. Last year gave up 24 for the Blue Jays. So, yes, he led the league with 29 home runs allowed. Milwaukee's a better home run park than Toronto. It's the first time he'd ever given up that many homers. He's going to give up his home runs, but
he didn't pitch as much, I don't think, either.
No, he pitched 30 fewer innings. You're right. He's going to give up his home runs. But look, I think guys can mature and guys can learn. I'm really, really hesitant to say this coach changed this guy. I think that can happen, but it's so, so, so rare.
What do you think happened with Jay Happ? Do you think Ray Searidge changed him?
I don't think he could change him. I think it's partly him learning a couple new things and partly, maybe even mostly, just growing up and learning. I think that, you know, especially for lefties, kind of can get it a little bit later in their career. And I think he finally just sort of realized what he had to do to be successful. I'm sure Ray Searidge kind of helped with that. And I'm sure Pete Walker is helping with Marco Estrada. But again, I think it's just a matter of these guys were always like Jay Happ, when he was the guy that Philly wouldn't move in the Roy Halladay trade, right? He was regarded.
Dominic Brown was the one they wouldn't move.
So was Jay Happ.
Okay.
They would not trade him, and the Blue Jays had to settle for Kyle Drabek, who was a great prospect at the time. It didn't work out.
Who already had Tommy John at that point.
Yes, but Jay Happ was a really, really, really highly regarded pitcher. Marco Estrada.
He had a great couple of years in Philly.
Well, he had a good year, his first year.
Well, for a young kid coming up, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
My question is there a different coach for the bullpen, a pitching coach, than there is for the starters?
I think that Pete Walker and Dane Johnson sort of work together. It's not like Pete Walker only takes care of the starters and Dane Johnson only takes care of the relievers. Pete Walker is the pitching coach, not the rotation coach. Johnson is the bullpen coach because he's in the bullpen during the games.
I'm just wondering, like, Storen had 29 to 31 saves last year. Like,
yep.
What happened?
He's not been good.
And to me, if the bullpen's that bad, why don't you fire the coach like you would a hitting coach if things aren't going well?
Why would you fire the coach when it's not his fault?
If you're a pitching coach in the bullpen?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm asking. Is there a separate coach for the bullpen?
Yes, there is a bullpen coach. I said that. But I don't understand. I don't understand that.
The bullpen is so bad.
Yes.
So, and if you're not hitting, everybody seems to, instead of firing the manager, they'll fire a hitting coach.
Well,
why don't the Jays look at it and say, well, why don't we bring in a different bullpen coach?
Because it's not the bullpen coach's fault that the bullpen's not pitching well.
No. Well, it's not just him, but there's three or four of them that aren't pitching well. And
And that's on them. It's not on Dane Johnson. It's on Drew Storen and Jesse Chavez and the guys who aren't pitching well in the bullpen.
And Brett Cecil.
Well, Cecil's on the disabled list now. He's had his regular April.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had a chance to turn it around.
Okay, Mike, I'm just thinking, because I like football too, but for the defense, it's all broken up. And that's what I didn't understand. If there was a separate bullpen coach that works with these pitchers versus a coach that works with the starters. And you helped me clear that up.
I'm happy to do it.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. Thank you. it always seems to me that the first thing people jump on is fire the coach, fire the coach, fire the manager, fire the manager. And I said this on Twitter a couple of days ago, and I'll repeat it here. If the Blue Jays had fired John Gibbons after they got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays, which so many people were screaming for, remember when the Jays got swept by the Rays here at Rogers Center, they were outscored 31-7, blown out twice. Terrible, terrible three-game series by the Blue Jays. If the Jays had fired John Gibbons after the third game of that series and everything in the last 11 games had happened the same way, which is wouldn't happen because obviously firing Gibbons creates a new space-time continuum and nothing else stays the same. But let's say that it did. And the Blue Jays had fired John Gibbons, and since then they've gone 8-3. Would there be anyone out there who hasn't said, see, it was all Gibby's fault. They needed a new voice, and the manager change was the thing they had to do, and look at the effect that a new manager has had on this team. That would have been everyone's immediate response. They didn't fire him, and they went 8-3 anyway. Because it's on the players. It's on the players. And unless your coaches are screwing up or your manager is screwing up, if you have faith in them to do the job, then you keep them in that job. That's why Tommy Lasorda managed the LA Dodgers for 100 years. That's why Bruce Bochy doesn't get fired when the Giants play under 500. Because they know that they've got a good manager. And once you've got a good manager, you should hold on to him whether the team's playing well or not, unless it's him screwing up. Andres in Scarborough, you're next.
Hey, Mike, just two quick comments before my question.
Sure.
First one, it'd be nice if the Jays can get rolling while now the attention's all back on them. I think we've really been hitting the ball hard, and I was at the game yesterday. There's nothing that matches the feeling of a home run in your own park with a packed stadium, I think, in sports.
No, it's a lot of fun, that's for sure. I would suggest perhaps an overtime goal in an NHL playoff game might match the excitement of a regular season home run. But home runs are fun.
Yeah, just because, you know, it happens more than an overtime goal. And just that sudden euphoric rise you get, you know, it's just nothing like it. But second comment, don't get mad at me for saying this, but you need to be doing more games than Dan Shulman. Very overrated. That's just my opinion. That's all I'll say.
Okay, Dan Shulman's the greatest broadcaster perhaps in the history of anything, so I immediately dismissed that despite the fact that it was a compliment.
I'm okay with that. I just wanted it to be said. But, question. The Starlin-Castro Estrada matchup today, and I feel like he's done it a few times in his other games. Was he, like, purposely throwing away from him and saying he's okay with the walk? And if so, is it a Russell Martin decision, Estrada, or, like, coaching?
It's none of those things. I don't think he was you're ever sort of – I mean, there are times where you'll say, all right, I'll walk this guy and move on to the next. Those times don't happen when the guy's leading off an inning, even with the bottom of the lineup coming up. Chase Headley is kind of hot right now. Didi Gregorius has been a decent hitter. You're not walking Starlin Castro leading off the inning and just saying, you know what, he hit a home run yesterday. He's a good hitter. I'm okay with putting him on base. I think there are situations in which you'll say, I'm not going to give in to this guy. I'm not going to give him anything to hit. If he gets himself out, fine. If not, I'll put him on. Those situations usually happen with two out. With a base generally occupied and with a pretty weak hitter coming up. So, yes, while okay. Those situations exist, that was certainly not the case with Castro and the two walks today.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, it couldn't be on purpose because he's definitely trying to get him out. I guess, you know, it's just hard to make good pitches all the time. That's why the ones who do it get paid the big bucks.
There's nobody who doesn't walk anybody.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like he has confidence that he can make the pitch he needs to with the next batter if he makes that mistake. Because you could tell on his face he didn't like it at all when he walked Castro.
No, nobody likes giving up a leadoff walk. But you're absolutely right. And Marco Estrada should have that confidence because for the last season and a third, he's been one of the best pitchers in the major leagues. Thanks for the call, Andre. Appreciate it. Since we're talking about Marco Estrada, why don't we hear from Marco Estrada? How about that? Estrada with 8 innings of 3-hit shutout, 3 walks and 6 strikeouts. He picks up the win as the Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-2. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Marco, you look awfully strong out there today.
Thank you.
What was working for you?
Felt like everything. Felt pretty good today. I did miss a few cutters down that I didn't want to go down and into a lefty. But for the most part, we elevated pretty well today. Russ called a great game, and I think he just saw what was working today, and he kept calling it, so I made pitching a little bit easier. But yeah, it's a tough lineup over there, pretty patient, and just got to stop walking so many guys. But other than that, everything felt pretty good today.
Gibbons said he really needed you to go deep today, given the fact that the bullpen's pretty worn out. You came through there for him.
Yeah, I figured. You know, I wanted to finish the game, but they didn't want me to get up to 120 or so. So they said that was it. But and I'd like to finish one of these games one of these days. But I'm glad I was able to give them 8 innings and rest the bullpen a little bit.
Marco, I know you guys obviously like having Ryan Goins playing behind you. How nice is it to see him have a game where he has the 2 big hits?
Yeah, it was great. Such a good player. You know, the guy plays really hard every day. And for him to come out and do what he did today, and you know, it's awesome to see. Very happy for him. I know he can keep doing it every day. So, you know, it's great to have him out there because his defense is so good. And then he puts together some great at-bats. And, you know, obviously he came through big today.
4 times you let on the leadoff hitter, but, you know, you didn't give up any runs. Are you sort of going to your mental strength in a situation like that?
I don't know. I don't change anything. You know, I don't know why I walk the leadoff hitter most of the time. You know, maybe I need to focus a little better. I'm not sure. But once someone gets on, I don't change anything, you know, other than switching from my windup to the stretch. So I don't know what it is. I'll keep working on it.
Marco, it's not ideal necessarily to face the same team back-to-back starts. Did you change anything up in your approach to these guys?
No, I think I was around the plate a little more. That last time, I think I mentioned I was effectively wild, and it just kind of went my way. But I wasn't really making good pitches, whereas today I felt like I was making much better pitches. maybe other than that last pitch I threw, what kind of scared me, I left the middle up. But luckily, you know, they popped it up. But other than that, I thought I threw the ball pretty well today. It was much better than last time. Located a little bit better. The changeups were also better today.
That led you to change speeds on other pitches better as well, presumably?
Yeah. I just, you know, last time I didn't really locate the off-speed pitches, whereas today I felt like I threw them a lot better than last time. Curveball was pretty sharp today, and we used it a little more than last time for sure. And I think, you know, that just gave me an extra pitch to throw up there. So I got to work on everything. Got to get better.
It's tough to imagine Marco Estrada being much better than he was today. 8 innings of 3-hit shutout over the New York Yankees as the Blue Jays beat the Yanks 4-2. Bit of a white-knuckle ride from the bullpen in the 9th inning. Aaron Loop comes in. He strikes out Rob Refsnyder. Then he hits Carlos Beltran on the foot and gives up a mammoth 2-run homer to the left-handed swinging Brian McCann. In comes Drew Storen, who gives up a double to the first batter he faces, Mark Teixeira, to bring the tying run to the plate. But then he pops up Starlin Castro and he strikes out Chase Headley. He picks up his 3rd save of the year. Blue Jays win it 4-2. They have won 8 of their last 11 to climb back over the 500 mark. Blue Jays made a roster move before the game. Ryan Tapera was called up to help out the bullpen, though he wasn't used tonight. Jimmy Paredes was designated for assignment, so he is off the 40-man roster, and we shall see if he can clear waivers and stay in the Blue Jays system. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Sam in Hamilton, welcome aboard, Sam.
Hey, Mike, you know, going back to your last call, you said everybody walks everybody. Well, unless you're Clayton Kershaw, you don't walk anybody.
Clayton Kershaw's walked 5 people this year.
Yeah, well, that's 5 less than probably a lot of other pitchers. But, yeah.
It's probably 40 less than a lot of other pitchers.
Sorry, that's what I meant. But you know what I meant, Kershaw. Anyway, you know, great win. Obviously, you know, starting to see the rest of the team, like Ryan Goins get started again, get hitting home runs. Obviously, I don't expect Ryan Goins to hit a home run. Almost anytime he gets up the bat, but it's always nice when he does, especially off Otako, too. That was great to see. Also, great to see Edwin Encarnacion trying to make up for his May, which usually he tears the ball. Like, he's on fire in the month of May, and this month he's been kind of quiet. So it's good to see him trying to make it up for it. And it's good to see him, this team play over 500 in May. But I'm just a little worried. Hopefully June swoon. Hopefully we don't go through that. Because if we stay above 500, stay in this race, we have so many home games in the month of July. Then we can make our hay in July, and then we'll see August and September. But, you know, it's such a great game tonight. And, yeah, such a great game.
Thanks, Sam. I hope that is the last time I hear June swoon. Just because they rhyme doesn't mean it happens. It did happen in 2014, absolutely. The Blue Jays were in first place on June 2nd. I think they had their biggest lead, and then they just started dropping like a stone. Last year, the Blue Jays had a fantastic June. It began, basically, with an 11-game win streak. So no talk about a June swoon. The Blue Jays are certainly due to be playing a lot better than they have been over the course of the season. In these last 2 weeks, they've been terrific, winning 8 of their last 11 games to climb back over 500. Thanks for the call, Sam. Let's go. Let's stay in the horseshoe. Matt in Grimsby. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
All right, go ahead.
Just a quick comment and a question. Going back a few calls to the guy talking about the coaching. Obviously, I don't really think you should blame the coaches right now, because we just came off our first postseason run in 20 years. A lot of our guys hadn't really dealt with the short off season before, because we did go deep into the postseason. So the slow start is kind of expected, right? And like you just said, it is June when they turned it on last year, so hopefully maybe June they turn it on this year, right?
I wouldn't suggest that a slow start was expected.
No?
I don't think so. They played great in spring training. It's not like hockey where you play an extra 2 months and you play, you know, 28 games. The Blue Jays played 11 extra games, spaced out very nicely over the course of a month. There's no reason to suggest that would lead to a slow start.
Okay, yeah. No, that's a fair point. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, and my question now is, so, yeah, we called up to Parra tonight, but at what point do you say, look, Aaron, I know you worked all off season to get into that starting rotation, and you've done a good job, but we really need you at the back end of that bullpen?
It's a good question, and the honest answer is I don't know. I think that what Aaron Sanchez is doing in the starting rotation has been phenomenal. You could argue that he's been just as good as Jay Happ and Marco Estrada, who have been the Blue Jays' two best starters this year.
Totally.
And so, you know, you kind of want to keep him out there. But the more often this bridge to Roberto Osuna is so shaky, the more likely you are to say, all right, well, give me Aaron Sanchez and put him back there so that we can have another shutdown reliever. I don't think that decision is coming anytime in the immediate future.
Right.
But I don't know either. I mean, this is new territory for all of us, watching Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro run a front office. We have no idea what their tendencies are and what their patience level is and what they want to do or anything like that. So honestly, if it were me, I think I would keep Sanchez in the rotation for a while longer. I expect that they will, but if we continue to see this bullpen just be so unreliable in the seventh and eighth inning, they may not have a choice.
Right. And I mean, like, you live and you die on your bullpen. I mean, I looked back when John Rauch was closing for us, and I think that year between him and Francisco, they blew about 25 saves.
No, they didn't.
I think they did.
Okay. I will confirm that is not true.
Okay. I'm sorry. Well, they did blow a lot of saves back, I think, in, was it 2010?
2010.
I'm sorry. I sound silly right now. I don't. But
no, look, I understand that you know, things get.
But like,
I don't want to say.
Sorry, can I just.
Yeah, sure.
Regardless, maybe they didn't blow that many, but the amount of saves they blew were
probably not even half that many.
More than the amount of games back we were from first place that season. I will look it up and I will message you on Twitter to try and figure this out.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay.
What are we talking about, 2012?
Yeah, whenever Rauch and Francisco split the...
That was not a lot of fun when John Rauch was a Blue Jay. Though, I mean, there was some fun that was had.
Well, of course, the Blue Jays are always fun.
No, I mean, even with Rauch, there was some fun that was had. I'm going to try to look that up and see, because, I mean, you know, the thing is, yes, blowing saves and losing leads late in games, it's heartbreaking, right?
Those are the games you
don't want to lose because you feel like you've got them in your back pocket. I would suggest that when leading after the seventh inning that year, that the Blue Jays probably lost fewer than 10 games.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's what it comes down to, and it's the same sort of thing with this year talking so much about the bullpen and how terrible it's been and how unreliable it's been and all of those things. If the offense was performing year-round like it was expected to perform, we wouldn't notice much about the bullpen. Like today, for example, they had the bullpen gave up two runs. And a lot of times this year when the bullpen gives up two runs, that's it. That means the Jays lose, right? And they finally had a lead to work with, so it's okay. John Rauch blew five saves with the Blue Jays in 2000, the year he was here in 2011.
Yeah, I apologize then.
Yeah. You know, but that's the thing. I mean, you remember it so harshly, it feels like the end of the world. But it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is, unfortunately.
What was the combined with Francisco? Because did they not split the deal or the spot that season?
Cordero was the closer the next year. And only for about 2 weeks because they gave him the job. He blew two saves in a row, and then he blew a third one, and they got rid of him. Or they took him out of the closer's role almost right away. Francisco Cordero blew three saves for the Blue Jays in 2012, and that was the year that Casey Jansen became the closer and took that job for a couple of years.
So we benefited from that very much.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, Matt. I do. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-2, despite the fact that the bullpen gave up two runs. Bullpen gave up two runs, and the Blue Jays were fine because they scored enough runs, and Marco Estrada pitched really well over the course of the first eight innings. We will continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Jays have taken 5 out of 7 from the Red Sox and Yankees in the last week. Things are starting to turn around. They're back up above 500 again. See if they can continue on tomorrow with Jay Happ on the mound. It is Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
2-2 pitch, line to left center field. That's up the gap. That's a base hit. Goes all the way to the wall. Hits it on a bounce. Around third, Donaldson sprinting home. He scores without a throw on a double by Edwin. The Blue Jays in flight, leading the Yankees 1-0 here in the bottom of the first.
Three batters into the ball game. The Blue Jays had a 1-0 lead. Edwin Encarnacion would make it a 2-0 game in the third with his RBI ground out, and the Jays would take a 4-0 lead into the ninth inning on the good right arm of Marco Estrada, who went 8 innings of 3-hit shutout. Aaron Loop gave up a 2-run homer in the ninth. Drew Storen came on to give up a double to Mark Teixeira, but then got a pop-up and a strikeout, and that was that. Storen with his third save of the season. With Roberto Osuna unavailable, the Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-2. They've won 5 of 7 against the Yankees and Red Sox in this last week, and 8 of their last 11 overall. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. But before we get to the next caller, I got to apologize to Matt in Grimsby, who was our last caller before the break. He was talking about John Rauch and Francisco, and I thought he was talking about Francisco Cordero, He was talking about Frank Francisco, and I'd totally forgotten that Frank Francisco even existed. So my apologies for that. Roush and Francisco did share the closer's job with the Blue Jays in 2011. They combined to blow 9 saves. Roush had 5, and Francisco had 4. So just got to be clear on that. Francisco did wind up with 17 saves that season, and Roush wound up with 11. So between them, they had 28 saves, 9 blown saves. Still not a great ratio, but really they were probably both miscast as closers that year. Let's go to Dave in Vaughn. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Go ahead.
Good, good. So I know you're on kind of record or have a voice note of saying that the season is early, but I'm going to go ahead and kind of make a statement in this early season because I really don't think that it's just this season. I also think that it's kind of a carryover from last season and the playoffs. But we always talk about the definition of an ace is that he stops losing streaks and begins winning streaks. And if you take a look at Marco Estrada this season, honestly, that is what he has been doing. I don't think he's getting enough credit by doing that. I think that we still, even a couple of days ago on Sportsnet Radio, they said that, you know, Stroman is still our ace. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on Estrada, given that, again, it's not just this season, but he was arguably our best pitcher in the playoffs last year and certainly was phenomenal throughout 2015.
Yeah, there's no arguably. Marco Estrada was the best pitcher in the playoffs, period, last year, not just for the Blue Jays. He had some unbelievable, the two best playoff starts in Blue Jays history last year. I'm always happy to give more credit to Marco Estrada. I say every chance I get that he led the American League in opponents' batting average last year, finished fifth in ERA, and got Cy Young votes. Marco Estrada has been a revelation ever since he joined this team. I think people get too caught up in who's the ace? Who's the number one? What's the order of the rotation? Who cares? They've got great pitching. And Marco Estrada and Jay Happ have been phenomenal this year. Aaron Sanchez has been phenomenal this year. Marcus Stroman has had his ups and downs, but he is an incredible young starting pitcher who's going to be really, really good for a really long time. So I think it's very dangerous to get caught up in, well, this guy's not the ace, this guy's the ace. Just be happy that you have so many good pitchers.
Yeah, for sure. I think really it's not necessarily just that he's the ace, but more so that I don't think, certainly lately he's been getting a lot of credit, but just for what he really does accomplish, maybe it's because of what he did prior to coming to Toronto and that reputation of giving up the home run ball. Well, the Rogers Centre gives up a lot of home runs, and he's done well the past season and a half, so I just think he deserves that credit. But thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Always happy to shine some light on a guy who's performing really, really well, and there's no question that Marco Estrada has been unbelievable. And, you know, the fact that the Blue Jays got him for a guy that they were about to non-tender, it's an amazing return the way he has pitched. And he comes back as a free agent on a 2-year deal. Best deal of the offseason, and Jay Happ is right behind him. Dave and Vaughn. That was just Dave and Vaughn. Sean in Mississauga, you're next.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing all right.
I just want to get your thoughts on knowing how shaky the bullpen has been. Would you not have put his daughter back out to finish the night?
Nope.
Is it solely on pitch count, or is it just like leave it to your closer type thing?
Well, no, it's neither of those things. I mean, pitch count has something to do with it, but for me, it was the way he looked in the eighth. He did not.
That's what I was asking. I didn't see the last two innings. So.
Your phone's crapping out on us. We're going to drop you, but I do appreciate the call. In the eighth inning, he walked the leadoff man, got a couple of strikeouts in deep counts, then gave up a double. And missed with a pitch, but got Jacoby Ellsbury to pop it up. So he was starting to flag, and it was a 4-run lead. There is, I know people are going to roll their eyes, but there is no bullpen in baseball that shouldn't be trusted to get 3 outs before allowing 4 runs. So you, no matter how much they've struggled, you have to be confident going to your bullpen with a 4-run lead. And just 3 outs to get. And Estrada was done. he'll say he would have finished, but like he said, they didn't want to get him up to 120 pitches or so, and they were probably right. He threw more pitches in the eighth inning than he had thrown in any other inning in the game, 21. So it was time. It was time. And you don't want to manage to a stat. You don't want to manage for a complete game or for a shutout, as great as that is. The win is the only important thing, and the right thing to do was to go to the bullpen. Thank you for the call. Sorry about your crappy phone. James in Toronto. Hey, James.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? Love the show. Me and my wife listen every night after the game. Just a quick question for you. Other than Chapman, is there any other big-time relievers that are going to be available during free agency? And one quick comment also in regards to the Showman thing that the other caller said.
No, we're not talking about other broadcasters on this program. You know,
okay,
that guy.
Sure, I won't even go there then.
Right.
But just in regards to the Chapman thing, or is there anybody else besides him that's a free agent that we might be able to scoop up?
Why are we worried about free agent relievers in the off season?
No, I'm talking come trade that are going to be free agents, like how we got Price around last year.
It's too early to talk about that. I mean, you're suggesting that Aroldis Chapman is going to be available for the Blue Jays to pick up. The Jays are a game and a half ahead of the New York Yankees in the standings.
No, I'm asking if there's anybody else like that that is a free agent coming in the next year that we might be able to acquire.
The free agent relievers, as I look down the list, there's Joaquin Benoit, Santiago Casilla, David Hernandez, Jonathan Papelbon, Joel Peralta, Joe Smith, Chapman, like you said. That's about it.
Okay, thank you for that info. I was just curious.
Okay, no problem. Happy to serve as your Google. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees by a score of 4-2. They've won 8 of their last 11, 5 out of 7 against the Yankees and Red Sox. Don't look now, but things are turning around in Blue Jays land. And this team is starting to play like we thought it was going to be able to play all season long, though, again, you know, 8 of 11. You can't play like that all season long. If you're asking a team to win 8 out of every 11 games, just to translate to you what that is over a 162-game season, that's a lot. Like, it's a lot. If the Blue Jays play at the pace they've played the last 2 weeks, that's 118 wins. So, we didn't expect them to play like this. But when they played so badly, you do expect a correction. And hopefully it continues, because they are really, really playing well right now to get up and over 500. Marco Estrada, 8 innings of 3-hit shutout. Ryan Goins with a double and a homer, a couple of runs scored, and an RBI. RBI doubles each for Edwin Encarnacion and Michael Saunders. And the Blue Jays pick up a win against the Yankees. Let's hear from Ryan Goins, who spoke to Hazel May after the game on the field. Goins with Hazel. Here's that conversation.
Ryan Goins, congratulations. 2-for-2 with an RBI and 2 runs scored. You've had success against the pitcher tonight. Tell me about your approach against Ivan Nova.
Honestly, just trying to get good pitches to hit, and you know, ended up putting good swings and hitting the ball hard, and you know, it feels good to come out and contribute today.
Ryan, you've had a tough go at it at the plate this season. What have you been working on that you think may have helped you tonight?
Just working on my plate discipline, honestly, not chasing balls out of the strike zone. But, you know, it's been awesome to come in every day, and my teammates have my back, you know, picking me up no matter, you know, how bad it's been going. They're always behind me and always, you know, kind of just picking me up and telling me, you know, just keep going and keep getting after it, and it'll change.
Josh Donaldson was busy today. He was out earlier talking with Devin Travis there at second base, and we got a glimpse of him talking to you. It looked like he was giving you some tips on hitting. Can you share with us what he said to you earlier this afternoon?
He talks a lot, so I mean, that was probably a lot of information going on, but you know, he's one of the guys that's one of the best hitters in this league, and know, you can always bounce questions off him or Bats or Tulo or whoever it is, and just lucky to be on a team with these kind of guys.
Before I let you go, speaking of Tulo, after you hit that home run in the fifth, you gave him an emphatic bear hug. What was that all about there in the dugout?
Yeah, going oppo is not for everybody. That's what I told him. But no, he's one of my biggest supporters, and it's awesome to have him by my side.
He sure is. Ryan Goins, congratulations. Because of you, the Blue Jays take the season over against the New York Yankees. We will see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Hazel May on the field with Ryan Goins, who hit an opposite field double in the third and an opposite field home run in the fifth to help the Blue Jays to a 4-2 win over the New York Yankees. Marco Estrada, 8 innings of 3-hit shutout to pick up the win. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Aldo is in Aurora. Hello, Aldo.
Hi. I just want to make a comment about the Jays. I hope they make the playoffs. I really do. But without any bullpen help, I can't see them winning a playoff round. That's, you know.
Okay.
That's my opinion on the Jays this year.
All right. I mean, I don't know quite what to say to that. If they're in the playoffs, it's anybody's ball game. That would be awesome if they got in the playoffs again.
But we seen last year with the Kansas City Royals what good bullpen does to a team, right? You win championships.
Did the Blue Jays not win the American League Championship Series because of Kansas City's bullpen?
No, they did, but we also had a better bullpen last year than we did this year, though.
Yes.
They were performing.
Yes.
This year, they're just not. They're
not in April and May, they weren't. Or June.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's just, it seems like every night they're giving up really important runs in the bullpen.
Well, tonight they didn't.
Well, we have to be up by 4.
Uh-huh.
If we were up just by 2, they would have tied it.
Right. Sometimes teams are up by 4.
We're asking for 3 outs. That's all we're asking for.
With a 4-run lead.
Yeah. Well, I hope it gets better. That's all.
Okay. I think every single Blue Jays fan is in lockstep with you on that one. We all hope the bullpen gets better, and they've got it in them to be better. And if what's here doesn't get better, then changes will be made. You know, we're not even a third of the way through the season yet. That happens tomorrow. The Blue Jays have won 8 of their last 11 games. And again, the bullpen, yeah, it's a white-knuckle ride. But when you have a little bit of a cushion, all of a sudden, it's a lot easier, like it was tonight. Robert is in Whitby. Hello, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I guess my, first of all, I have a comment, or a question, first of all. Mike, this time last year, we're at 27-26. What were we at this time last year? Games won and lost?
I would suggest, well, actually, I can tell you exactly. They were 23-30 last year through 53 games. It was their low point of the season.
So we're doing better.
Yes, but with a team that should be a lot better.
All right. And everybody talks about the bullpen. I love Cecil. And that Asuna, he's 21 years old?
Asuna, yes.
Yeah, great, great pitchers. And I guess Cecil's on the disabled list?
Correct.
Okay, so, I mean, he just needs time. These guys need time to get rolling, and they will. I'm sure they will. How many guys do we need in the bullpen? Do you need a couple more really good pitchers?
It would be great to have 4. Yeah, but nobody has 4 great pitchers. 3 is good, and that's what I thought Cecil, Storn, and Asuna were going to be at the beginning of the season. But Cecil had a terrible April.
I think they will be. I think those 2 will be for sure.
Well,
so maybe
we'll see.
When the trades come, we can get 1 more. I mean, it all looks good to me. It looks better than last year to me.
It is better than last year. It is. But remember, too, at this point last year when the Blue Jays were 23-30, they didn't lose again for another 12 games. They went on an 11-game winning streak starting with their 54th game of the season. So,
okay, well, 8 out of 11 isn't bad. They're
nope,
getting back.
8 out of 11 is terrific.
Yeah.
You bet.
Okay, I just want to make a couple comments. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Terry in Winnipeg. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Great show. Love love listening to you talk to the fans, particularly the ones who have trouble believing in the team. I wondered what you thought of what do you make of this change in the batting order? Do you think it's contributing to this 8 out of 11 win? Just I maybe you've talked about this earlier already. Just wondered if you think this is making any – I mean, it looks like it's making a difference, but what do you think?
I don't know that it's actually making a difference, but I think it's a great idea. You know, you've seen, like, even yesterday when the Blue Jays were down – oh, no, not yesterday, sorry, on Saturday when the Blue Jays were down 8-7 in the eighth inning and they'd scored three runs and there were two outs and there was a man on third, Jose Bautista was the guy who came up in that situation because he's in the leadoff spot. For me, leading off is not about being the first batter of the ball game. It's about being the first guy who comes up when the lineup turns over later in games, getting those first opportunities to make a big, big difference late in a ball game. So it worked perfectly at that point in time. In the overall, you know, Bautista's come up in some situations and he's gotten the job done, but it's just you have them right away. Bautista, Donaldson, Edwin, you got to get through that immediately. And then as soon as the lineup turns over, they're all coming around again instead of having to go through a lesser hitter before you get to them. So I think it's wonderful.
Great. Thanks, all right. Mike. Great show.
No problem. Thank you. Appreciate the call. I appreciate all the calls. And I apologize to those of you to whom we did not get. But I want to play this for you because yesterday the Blue Jays had another one of their 40th season celebrations. There are going to be a few over the course of the year, and they brought back some of the greatest hitters in franchise history, including the first great hitter that we ever had. So, you know, he had his best year as a Blue Jay when I was 10 years old. I don't know how many of you out there go back quite that far to the late 70s, early 80s. And those of you who don't, hopefully will enjoy hearing from this guy. This was the Blue Jays' first great slugger. I had a conversation yesterday with John Mayberry.
See John Mayberry, I hear Tom Cheek in my head talking about Big John coming to the plate. You were the first power hitter on this team, first guy to 30 home runs. You laid a ton of groundwork. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's always good coming back to Toronto. It's keep a warm place in my heart for the Jay fans and the people here. They always gave me support and treated me real well.
What's it like to see what this franchise has developed into? You weren't here at the very, very beginning, but pretty much at the beginning, and you know, when the Blue Jays were just trying to find their way, and now this has become something pretty huge, couple of World Series, last year's great playoff run. How does it feel to one of the forefathers of this team?
Well, you know, I know a lot of the people that put this all together, the Pat Gillicks, the Paul Beastons, and all those guys. They kind of dedicated to making this a great baseball team. Bobby Maddox in the minor leagues. Of course, I worked in the minor leagues. And sometimes what you do for 10 years might not pay off for the next 10 years. And I think they had a plan, had a vision, and this is what you see from a lot of hard work. And this is almost a finished product with another World Series.
What was it like for you back in, you know, those 100 lost days playing at the X, which, you know, we love, but we love it because it was a terrible place, but it was our terrible place, right? What was that like?
Well, it was it wasn't depressing because I played with a great group of guys. I'm talking about Otto Velez, Rico Carty, Bob Baylor, Alfredo Damaso, even Rick Bocetti, you know, and we was at that time, we were just trying to maintain our status as individuals, but collectively, we wanted to win some games, but that didn't happen very often. But we went out there, we played hard, and we had fun.
With John Mayberry, the next what was it like question is, what was it like to see your kid suit up for the Blue Jays a couple of years ago?
Well, it was a good feeling. You know, my kid played 7 years in the major leagues, and I was proud of that. I think every parent would love to see their kid play in the major leagues, and I was fortunate enough to have a kid who played and at times played very well. So to get him a Blue Jay experience, that was great. I took a picture with him. I had my jersey on. He had his jersey on back home in Kansas City. And it was a great feeling.
Last question for you, John Mayberry. Speaking of Kansas City, you were a great Royal before you were a great Blue Jay. How did it feel to watch Kansas City and Toronto in the playoffs last year?
Well, you know, I had mixed emotions. You know, I grew up in Detroit. I played a lot of Little League baseball here in Toronto when I was a kid, and I played with Kansas City, and my approach was, may the best team win.
That's a shame that it looked like the best team over that series did win, but this team's starting to play pretty well again now. The Blue Jays might have another shot at it.
Oh, no question about it. They're going to be right in the hunt. They got good players, solid players, professional players, and they're very competitive, and they're not going to give up. It's not over till the last dog dies with these guys.
Thanks a lot, John Mayberry. Really appreciate this. Great to catch up with you and enjoy this day.
You enjoyed it as well. Thank you.
That was a real thrill for me, I have to tell you, getting to talk to Big John Mayberry. The Blue Jays' first 30-home run man. He hit 30 home runs in 1980, the last one off of Dennis Eckersley on a final day of the season doubleheader. And that's the first time I'd ever heard that one. He said they don't give up till the last dog dies. Well, they didn't tonight. They beat the New York Yankees 4-2 behind 8 innings of 3-hit shutout from Marco Estrada. The Blue Jays and Yankees continue their series tomorrow. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. A battle of lefties, Jay Happ against CeCe Sabathia. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.